Greetings, everybody. I'm Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication, and we're here today with Rachel Shaw, who is the author of the article, The Courage of Community Members, Community Perspectives of Engaged Pedagogies. With me also is Allison Zuba, who is the editorial assistant for the journal. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I always like to ask people to give us a sense of the work that they have published with us, and also a sense of how you got to this particular work. How did you get so involved with engaged pedagogies?
So the origin of this article really goes back to the moment that I was handed the reins of the Wildcat Writers Community Writing Program, which is a program that's profiled in the article. It's a high school university writing exchange program that pairs up secondary and university students for semester-long collaborations. And as a new coordinator of the program, I had a lot of ethical concerns about whether our program was really meeting the interests of our community partners or whether it was really just kind of forwarding the agenda of the university. Mm-hmm. So I was really digging into the community writing literature, and I was loving a lot of the stories and models and theories that I was coming across. But one thing I didn't see much of was a discussion of community impact of these programs from the perspective of the community participants in the program. So often community impact wasn't really touched on, or when it was discussed through the university perspective, or sometimes they engaged nonprofit staff feedback. But I'm a former nonprofit staff member at a community literacy program, and I know from my experience that my perspective on a program is not the same perspective as the folks that are involved in the program. From the participant side. And that was something that was brought to my attention in some very clear ways when I was working at the community literacy program in Chicago, such as the moment that kicks off the article when a homeless woman spits on me and tells me, "I will not be your service project." And I consider her a teacher that kind of helped me think through some of the ethical complexities involved in community engagement. So as I was looking at these questions and the voices that felt like they were missing from the conversation, that led me to think about the politics of knowledge and kind of who is considered a knower and who is considered not a knower. So I was reading in feminist science studies and indigenous methodologies and participatory action research, which is an approach to research where the research participants are not just passive subjects but co-researchers. And it felt like for my program, Wildcat Writers, the high school students had to be knowers in order to do this ethically and to be framed as knowers. So I kind of launched my own little mini participatory action research project with a group of five youth that were former participants in Wildcat Writers. And so once a week, I'd wake up super early and microwave a bunch of breakfast sandwiches and go meet with the students before school and have breakfast and work on this research project to try to understand what impact the program was having on their peers and how we could make the program better. And they came up with some pretty awesome insights. You know, they got certified in human subjects to kind of help coordinate this. They designed focus groups and surveys, analyzed all the data, and at the end, you know, they had some really insightful things to say about community writing and about this program in particular. For example, we used to do all of the joint meetings at the university campus as kind of a college access move. But the youth were like, you know, we think the college students should come to us and be on our turf. There's kind of a spatial aspect to the power dynamics there. And so we implemented that suggestion along with a lot of others. And it had a great impact on the program. And I kind of walked away from this little pilot study with two takeaways. One is the incredible potential of community participants to offer powerful insights into community engagement pedagogy. And the other is that our structures are not set up for this. There were several moments where I was kind of given little signals that what I was doing was weird from the IRB, who didn't understand that these 10 graders were my collaborators, a peer reviewer for an article that the youth and I co-wrote together, who really struggled with the idea that the youth were co-authors. And so it was very clear to me that it's not normal for community participants to be positioned this way, and I think that's a problem. So I walked away from this with the idea that, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's maybe a lot of work that I could do So that sort of kicked off my bigger project, which is where this article comes from. So I've interviewed 80 different community members who have participated in university community collaborations, including a set of high school youth that participated in Wildcat Writers that formed the basis of this article. And so I'm trying to learn from these folks how we can do community engagement better.
I love it. I really appreciated reading the article because I got my start, nearly 20 years ago, heavily involved in service learning pedagogies and community engagement kinds of work. And I loved it. And I was very conscious. I had seen models of service learning that were, they didn't seem like service learning to me. It was basically, here, go hand out sandwiches at a homeless shelter, come back and write about the experience. And I thought, okay, well, no, that's great. You know, we should be handing out sandwiches in homeless shelters. That's wonderful. And students had something to write about. But I think like you, I wanted the students to actually, in some ways, to the extent possible, be contributing actively to what the service organization or the nonprofit needed. And so thinking about very specifically those engagements, those kinds of engaged activities that would benefit not just the students, but really the organization as well, seemed to me the absolute requirement in order for us to be engaging in community partnerships. But as you're talking about this, I also hear in my head comments from colleagues saying, the bar is just too high. It is so high. There's so much work, so much activity, so much you have to do. And I always want to say, but wait, this will transform your pedagogy, but it's too much work. What can we do? How do you address that? What do you say to your colleagues who say, wow, looks great in many ways, but I don't want to, I'm pulling back from participating because it's just so much work.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and it is a lot of work. There's some labor there. You know, I think sometimes folks in the community writing field were so concerned with the ethical questions and doing it exactly right that there's a little bit of this perfect standard. Paul Feigenbaum writes about this, right? That there's we set the bar so high that we then don't do anything, right? And we just step out and don't even try, and like that's a problem. But on the other side, like you don't want to go into this just being like, oh, it's easy and I'll just kind of tack it on and it's no big deal. And that's why I'm a firm believer that we definitely shouldn't be requiring community engagement pedagogies of instructors, because I think it is a lot of work. But I also look at the moments in my teaching career, my scholarship, that have been the most generative and energizing. And a lot of them have come out of these partnerships that I actually you know, writing that article with those 10th graders, you know, in a school cafeteria was so engaging for me and so powerful. So I think, yes, it can be a lot of work, but I also think it's often worth it.
No, I completely agree. So as you know, I've got with me Allison, who is finishing up her PhD in rhetoric and composition. And I'm curious if she's got some thoughts. Because certainly this is something that I didn't get involved in until I was, you know, launched into my career and had the time and the resources to be able to do it. From a graduate student perspective, what are you thinking about community engagement pedagogies?
I'm especially interested in your discussion of outlaw emotions and the fear that some of these high school students had in participating in this program. And I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about the connections you're seeing between emotion and knowledge production and a sort of critical consciousness?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think certain kinds of emotions can either facilitate knowledge production or they can hinder it. So we know that if, you know, the community participants or the college participants are sometimes so afraid, that can stop them from speaking. And it can stop those kinds of generative exchanges from occurring. On the flip side, I think sometimes discomfort can be a starting point for knowledge production as well. If we look at those places where we are uncomfortable or where we experience emotions that weren't expected, I think those are the places that can, if we look closer at those places, we can start to see how things aren't exactly the story that's being told about the situation isn't the story that really sums up what's going on. So if I'm experiencing discomfort in a moment where everyone says I should be happy, then there's a chance for me to reflect there. And that kind of cognitive dissonance, I think, is something that we think a lot about in first year composition. But we don't always think about it in terms of our community partners, that they might be going through those same kinds of discomforts as well, and how we respond to those spaces and how we engage those emotions, I think, is really important.
So what's next for you in this line of research? What questions are you asking yourself now? Where's your discomfort?
That's a great question. So I continue to be really uncomfortable with community engagement. It's something that I love. It's something that I've been doing a long time. But every semester when I do it, I have these moments of like, oh, I don't know. It's not, you know, it's not simple. It's not easy. There's so many moving parts and so many ethical questions. And there's two questions in particular that I think stem from this article that kind of have informed where I'm going next. And one is this question of, okay, if there's these power imbalances between university and community participants as knowers, what do we do about that? Like on the ground, like what do we do? And in particular, how do we build our community engagement programs in such a way that we can create space for community participants to be holders and producers of knowledge and to share that insight? So that's one thing that I'm exploring in the final chapter of my book, which is due to my editor in a couple weeks. So I'm looking at strategies like community advisory boards and participatory evaluation and having the community members actually grade the college students in ways that impact their final grades. Strategies like that, and these are all strategies that I'm currently exploring right now in Husker Writers, which is a sister program to Wildcat Writers that I'm currently coordinating at University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And so I'm interested in what these kinds of structural changes have the potential to do. Another question is kind of brought up by the article sort of at the end. There's a quote from a high school student named Brenda. And she says, you know, the purpose of Wildcat Writers, of this community writing program, is to help the college students stay in college, you know, not drop out. And I thought that was a really striking way of framing a university community writing partnership, which is often described as, you know, a college access program for her. But she sees it as this college retention program for the college students. And she's right, because the research shows that, you know, community engagement increases college student retention. And she got this idea of what the program was from her teacher, who introduced it to her that way, her high school teacher. So for me, that brings up a lot of questions about how should we be framing community engagement partnerships for our community partners? I think we've talked a lot about how to do that for our students, how to avoid like charity frames and stuff like that, and the ways we frame it for our students. But how are we introducing it to our community partners, and how could different frames impact the partnership in different ways? So I'm interested in digging a little bit into different framing theories, like conceptual metaphor theory, to kind of look at the potentials for how that frame can function rhetorically in our partnerships. So those are a couple of questions that I've kind of kicking around and interested in exploring.
Sounds like you have your work cut out for you. That's some good discomfort. Yeah. I love it. We've been talking with Rachel Shaw, who is the author of the article, The Courage of Community Members, Community Perspectives of Engaged Pedagogies. You can read this article in the September 2018 issue of CCC. Rachel, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah.